Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I'm reading to you Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. And when they were come nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. These disciples had been instructed by the Lord Jesus Christ to go and find this ass and this colt. Jesus was going to enter into the city of Jerusalem for the final time. He was coming here to die upon the cross for the redemption of mankind and for the establishment of his eternal kingdom. These disciples did as they were commanded. As the disciples of Jesus Christ, we are to do as the Lord commands us. We are to follow His instructions explicitly and exactly. They were to tell the people if they questioned the taking of these animals, Behold, the King cometh. Jesus the King was coming. His kingdom was coming. The throne and the kingdom had been promised. Jesus had been foretold to be the one who would sit upon the throne of David. David was that great Old Testament character who was appointed by God as the king of Israel, replacing Saul because of Saul's disobedience and failure to comply with the commandments of God. David became that king that was favored by God and beloved by the people. God had promised him in 2 Samuel chapter 7 that his throne would stand forever and his kingdom would stand forever. This kingdom and this throne, of course, represented the eternal spiritual throne of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 33, the angel came to this young virgin girl by the name of Mary, and said unto her, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. What an announcement this young girl heard. She was going to conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit, bring forth a son. She was to name this son that she would bear and bring into the world, Jesus. For it would be Jesus who would save his people from their sins. It would be Jesus who would come as the Redeemer of the world. It would be Jesus who would come as the one who would reconcile man unto God and bring forth the righteousness of God. His name would be called Jesus. He would become great. He would become the King. The Lord God would give unto him the throne of his father David. Jesus would not sit upon the throne by human power, bringing forth a human arsenal, but rather the Lord God would give unto him the throne. What God establishes cannot be overthrown. What God brings forth cannot be destroyed. God is the Almighty God. His providence, His counsel, His promise forever stands. God was going to sit Jesus upon the throne. He would reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Here, prior to the birth of Jesus, the announcement is made that the child named Jesus, who would become the sacrificial lamb, who would die upon the cross, shedding his blood for the redemption of humanity, would be appointed king by Almighty God. He would be given a throne and he would be given a kingdom. When the Lord Jesus Christ was brought before Pilate, recorded in John the 18th chapter, Jesus speaks there to Pilate concerning his kingdom. The Jews had developed this hatred of Christ. The people came to hear him. The people embraced his message. The people recognized his authority. But the Jewish nation failed to do so. The prophets had spoken clearly throughout their history. God had announced through various individuals his plan for the redemption of humanity. But these people failed to recognize Jesus as the authority and as the redemptive sacrifice that had been sent into the world by the Lord God. They had either missed the prophecies that God had spoken, or they had ignored those prophecies. Sometimes people simply ignore what the Bible teaches. They can see what God is saying. They can even understand what God is saying. But yet they will ignore or neglect what God is saying. Many people refuse to submit to the authority of God, recognizing Jesus as Lord and Christ. And so these Jews have brought Jesus into the presence of Pilate. They desire that Pilate crucify him. The crucifixion of Jesus had been foretold clearly in the Old Testament. Isaiah in chapter 53 had spoken so very clearly concerning the sacrifice of Jesus and his death upon the cross of Calvary. These Jews wanted Jesus to be crucified. They demanded of Pilate that he crucify him. But you remember, Pilate would talk with Jesus. He tried to determine the innocence of Jesus. He tried to decide whether Jesus was truly guilty of the crime of which they accused him, and if he deserved to die upon the cross. In one of those discussions in John chapter 18, verses 36 and 37, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." I want you to notice that final statement of Jesus. I want you to focus your attention upon these words of Christ. "Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." Jesus came into the world to bear witness of the truth. Jesus had spoken earlier to a multitude of people and said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." After Pilate condemns Jesus to die, or prior to Pilate condemning Jesus to die, the Christ had gone into the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he had prayed in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." The word which Jesus spoke was the truth. The word which we read in the pages of the Bible is the truth of God. This is the word that has been delivered by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and has been preserved through the ages of time so that you and I, even today, can read and understand and obey the truth of God. "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." We are to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. We are to listen to him speak because he is king. His word is the authority of God. His word is to direct our soul toward God, bring us into fellowship with God, and give us that eternal home that we ought to desire. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." The kingdom of Christ is not a physical kingdom established by physical power, but rather God made him king. God appointed him to be king. The events that are transpiring at this very moment, even in the presence of Pilate, have been predicted by the prophets and had been guided down through the ages of time by the providence of God. God is at work, bringing forth his plan of eternal righteousness for the redemption of the human family. Jesus said, "If my kingdom were of this world." He's presenting Pilate an argument as to the true nature of his kingdom. "If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight so that I would not be delivered unto you by the Jews. My servants would fight so that this might be prevented, so that I could be king of this earthly kingdom. But my kingdom, the kingdom belongs to Christ." Christ had been promised the kingdom. Christ is going to die on the cross to secure the kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, an eternal kingdom. Jesus said, "I was born to be king. To this end have I come into the world." And so Jesus declares unto Pilate that he is king, that he is going to be king of his kingdom, and that his kingdom is going to be established. The kingdom is not earthly, but spiritual. The kingdom is not temporal, but eternal. The kingdom is a heavenly kingdom, having been established by God. And man, humanity, cannot overthrow that kingdom, nor can they prevent the course of events that are going to bring forth that kingdom. Pilate is going to consent for Christ to be crucified. He's going to die on the cross, but he's going to be resurrected from the grave so that the plan of God can be fulfilled and the kingdom can be established. In the Old Testament, there was a prophet by the name of Daniel who had spoken concerning the kingdom of Jesus Christ. In Daniel 2, in verse 44, Daniel had spoken to King Nebuchadnezzar concerning the dream that this king had. Nebuchadnezzar was king of the Babylonian kingdom. The Babylonians had taken the nation of Israel into captivity because of sinfulness, their failure to comply with God, and so God had delivered them into the hands of the Babylonians. Nebuchadnezzar has had this awesome dream. You can read about that dream in Daniel chapter 2. In verse 44, part of that interpretation is, "And in the days of these kings," Daniel identifies four earthly kingdoms that are going to come into the world. "And in the days of these kings," which we will understand from Luke chapter 3, was in the days of the Roman kingdom, when the Caesars were the authority and sat upon the throne of the earthly kingdom of Rome. "In the days of these kings," notice again, "shall the God of heaven," God is at work. All of these events that are going to unfold, even from the beginning of time, through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, are the working of God. They are according to the providence and the counsel of God. And God's counsel stands forever. Whatever God has determined is going to come to pass. God is faithful to his word, and what he tells us in the pages of his word, he is going to do and he is going to fulfill. "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom," notice, "which shall never be destroyed." Nothing will prevent the establishment of this kingdom. Nothing will bring this kingdom to naught. No army can march against this kingdom. No nation can overthrow this kingdom. No earthly device can undermine this kingdom. "And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Daniel has predicted the coming of the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is going to be king, and the kingdom that he is going to possess, that God is going to appoint unto him, is going to stand forever and will never be destroyed. In Matthew 6 and verse 13, Jesus is teaching his disciples the manner of prayer. This great sermon, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, is the longest recorded sermon of Jesus Christ. It's a sermon that ought to be read, that ought to be studied, that ought to be lived. For within this sermon, Jesus delivers the divine principles of the citizenship of the kingdom of heaven. He describes the nature of this kingdom and the lifestyle that those who live within this kingdom and come under the submission and authority of Jesus Christ are to have. And in Matthew 6:13, in the midst of this prayer, at the conclusion of this prayer, he said, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Unto Almighty God, the kingdom is forever. Unto Almighty God, the power is forever. Unto Almighty God, the glory is forever. Jesus Christ has an eternal kingdom established by the God of heaven, brought forth by the counsel of God through the ages of time. The New Testament teaches us the time when this kingdom was going to be established. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we have recorded for us the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist. John was an individual who preached in the wilderness, outside of the towns. We find that the multitudes would come out to hear this man of God speak. The main subject of his preaching was the Lord Jesus Christ. He talked about repentance and how people were going to have to change their life and they were going to have to be converted to Christ and they must live according to the divine principles that Christ would bring. In this passage of Scripture, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Why did they need to repent, change their lives, be converted, live according to the divine standard of God? That's repentance. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is near. It is about to take place. It is not something that is going to be in the distant future in the history of humanity, but the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As John came preaching, his subject was that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew 4 and verse 17, Jesus has embarked upon his earthly ministry. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is time for God to bring his kingdom into the world. He's not going to bring that kingdom into place centuries from now, but rather he's about to bring his kingdom into the world. The kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is about to come. It is near. It is imminent. It is at hand. In Matthew 16:28, the words of Jesus are, "Verily I say unto you." When Jesus uses this word "verily," he means that what he is telling them is true and it is going to come to pass. And nothing that Jesus says can be undermined or destroyed. Whatever Jesus promises is going to come to pass. You can have the full confidence and the total assurance of heart and mind that the words of Christ stand and are firm. "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Jesus said the Son is going to come in his kingdom even during the lifetime of some of you who are standing here, because the kingdom was at hand. In the Old Testament, Daniel had spoken concerning the time of the kingdom. In Daniel chapter 7 at verses 13 and 14, he said, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him." Daniel is speaking about the ascension of Christ, his return to heaven, for he's going to come in the clouds and he's going to come unto the Ancient of Days, to Almighty God. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Daniel says in the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ, he's going to be given a kingdom and dominion, glory, so that all nations and all people and all languages shall serve him. The gates of God's mercy are going to be open to the whole of humanity, so that people from every language, from every nation, from every culture, from every educational background, from every social standing, can come unto Jesus Christ, into his kingdom. And Daniel reminds them that this is an everlasting dominion and a kingdom which shall not be destroyed. In Acts, the second chapter, at verses 29 through 32, the Apostle Peter is preaching that great sermon at Pentecost. Read the entirety of this sermon in your Bible. But he says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried." Remember, David was promised a throne and a kingdom that would not be destroyed. Jesus has been promised a throne and a kingdom which shall not be destroyed. Not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly kingdom. Not a kingdom of this world, but a kingdom having been sent by God. His scepter is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his house, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, Peter says that David has foretold that Jesus is going to sit upon his throne. When? He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, was not left in the grave, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Peter speaks what Daniel had promised. Jesus Christ is going to ascend into the clouds. He's going to come to the Ancient of Days and be given a kingdom and glory and dominion. Peter says at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his throne is going to be established. God has raised up Christ so that he can sit upon the throne of his kingdom. I want to notice the seed of the kingdom, how the kingdom is planted in the hearts of humanity, how you and I can become citizens of this divine kingdom. In Matthew chapter 13, at verses 19 and 24, Jesus is teaching parables about the kingdom of heaven. He's describing for us the nature of the kingdom. But in these passages of Scripture, he's talking about the seed that is planted in the hearts of humanity that bring them into the kingdom. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, the word which is preached is the word of the kingdom. The gospel is the word of the kingdom. What I'm saying to you this day is the word of the kingdom. And understandeth it not, some will hear and not understand. Then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." Jesus says the nature of the kingdom is sowing seed in the hearts of humanity. How are seeds planted in human hearts? By the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 13, 37, 38, he answered and said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one." Even though the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached and proclaimed, not all people will receive it. Some will follow the will of the devil. Some will continue to be ensnared, enslaved by the devil. Not all hearts will surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those that will hear the gospel of truth, and they will obey the gospel of truth. because they will recognize that the Son of Man speaks the words of truth, and everyone that is going to love Christ and follow Him and be His disciple is going to embrace the truth. The kingdom of God was preached following the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. In Acts 8 and verse 12, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Philip had gone to Samaria out of Jerusalem, and there he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus Christ is linked to the kingdom of God because Jesus is the King of His eternal, spiritual, heavenly kingdom brought forth by God. In Acts 19 and verse 8, this preacher Paul went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Following the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ and the ascension of Christ, the kingdom of heaven is preached. The seed is planted in human hearts so that we can be called into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12, Paul is writing to the church, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. This church is located in Thessalonica. There's a church in Ephesus. There's a church in Lystra. There's a church in Derbe. There's a church in all the regions of Galatia. There's a church in Philippi. There's a church in Colossae. There's a church in Corinth. Because the gospel has been preached in those places, and there are human hearts that have embraced that gospel. They have received that seed into their heart. They have obeyed that word of truth. They have accepted that Jesus is the authority of that word and the source of hope in their life. And they have embraced that and obeyed that and have become the church. In 1 Thessalonians 2:12, walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. How are we called into the kingdom and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? 2 Thessalonians 2:14, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we receive the glory of Christ, we receive the kingdom of Christ. We're called by the gospel. The gospel is preached. The seed is planted in the human heart. That seed germinates, brings forth fruit unto God. We become citizens of the kingdom. In Colossians 1 and verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Those who embrace Christ, those who obey His word of truth, those who hear His word and allow that word to be the source of authority in their life become citizens of the heavenly kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a lifestyle of that kingdom. There is a manner of life, a behavior of life that we must possess as citizens of the kingdom. In Matthew 5, 3 and 10, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The poor in spirit are those who recognize their own impoverishment, their need of Christ, their love of God. And the poor in spirit are willing to surrender unto the truth of God and obey the gospel of God as He has commanded through faith, repentance, confession, and immersion in water, which the Bible calls baptism. And we are added to His church. We are made citizens of His kingdom. We are translated into His kingdom, having been freed from the power of darkness, and ours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, Paul said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" The tares are the wicked one, the children of the wicked one, in Jesus' parable in Matthew 13. They do not become citizens of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has been established by the Lord Jesus Christ through His death, burial, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, where He has been placed at the right hand of God. He sits and He reigns, He rules today in the hearts of those who will submit unto Him, come to know His power and His authority. May you this day decide to become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.